The Spinners, the song chosen by Allison Logie, who is our next guest on the radio show. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Jean.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
We've invited you in to talk to us about the life and times of Allison, what the life looks like from your perspective. You're into so many things. It's amazing. You run your own dental clinic here in our region. It's close to Saint-Eugène.
It is in Saint-Eugène, on the outskirts.
Yeah. So you're a holistic dental hygienist.
Yeah. I mean, I've never quite promoted myself as a holistic, because there are, you know, really very holistic who abide by certain things, and I have to say that I like the natural approach to things, so definitely I support that kind of approach.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're there how many days a week?
So I work from my home in Saint-Eugène 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays.
Okay. Yeah. And then the rest of the time you're a dental hygienist at some practice, I guess, on West Island.
That's right, on the West Island on Sources. So I do that 3 days a week, Monday to Wednesday. And then when I come home on the Wednesday night, I prepare my room for the Thursday.
Yes.
And then I go about it Thursdays and Fridays. And it's really very different because...
I was going to say, describe the room to us.
Definitely the view is... you're looking into basically a field. So it's really nice and full with the birds and squirrels. And in the winter, it looks pretty nice. And the great thing, sounds funny, but... You know, I can open up my door in that room in the nice weather, spring and that. And so it really brings in the outdoors. So it's kind of funny to hear the birds.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I know dentists that actually pipe that in, you know, to help people relax, but you've got the real thing right there.
Yeah, got the real thing. And it's funny, like right now, currently, I have this this cardinal that's been visiting me since actually January 11th, actually 12th to be exact.
Wow, that's really early for a cardinal.
Yeah, and he's always at the window. I think he just likes looking at himself. And his
typical male.
Yeah, and his mate's always in the background just watching him. And he follows me around from different rooms. And I don't know that he's following me. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but he's. It's funny to look up. I'm cleaning teeth, and there he is at the window, sort of tapping with his beak and his little feet. And I raised a squirrel. Her name's Chelsea. So sometimes she's at my door. So it's really kind of funny to have all this in comparison to working in a traditional dental office where...
A more urban setting.
Yes, exactly.
Real contrast, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice. Like, I find it very calming. And
I bet.
People find it really
calming.
I'm sure,
yeah. Your clients would as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Just to know that they're going into that lovely environment. This is something I wanted to talk to you about. You know, in general, people, I think, are kind of stressed out going to the dentist or going to get their teeth cleaned. So it sounds like you've actually managed to create a really peaceful space that would have people relax more easily.
It definitely feels that for me, like as a practitioner, from my point of view, I mean, it's just, if you take the example of the environment I work in the West Island, there's four operatories. So you have it being run by either a dentist or a hygienist. And you know what? You have the compressor going on that feeds these rooms, so it's always filling up, it's going on. So you have people moving about, walking by each other. Of course, all the clients that come in, I've been there 14 years, so it's always like, hi, lots of conversations. So it's fun, it's great.
Yeah.
But the noise levels are really, and of course, any of the tools or instruments going on in the adjacent rooms. And the rooms are not all enclosed, there's openings.
Okay.
So you have people passing by the room. So when you come to my place, it's like, very quiet. So it's really nice because people come in with, believe it or not, chronic breath issues that has really had a toll on their social life. So it's a really big thing. And we talk about that. And sometimes it can be emotional. And I love that it's a closed and safe, secured container there.
Oh, yes.
Because we can talk about anything. There's nobody listening around.
Not in the next cubicle kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's really, I'm happy. It's fulfilling. And I don't see more than five people a day from home. I see about 10 people on average in the Dollard practice.
Okay.
And so you're always running and going. And So it's nice because it really helps maintain a nice, calm feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've actually set this up in a way that really works for you as well. Like, something to look forward to towards the end of the week for you, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important. It really, really is. Yeah. You know, I mean, dealing with the public, everyone does to different degrees, but this is a pretty intimate setting. So, and people are not always comfortable going.
Yeah.
So, and you have to sort of alter yourself accordingly. Some people, I'll get the hint right away. Sometimes people just they don't want to talk. That's fine. So I'm very quiet. Others need to be entertained.
Yes.
You know, and others want to hear you talk, you know. Yeah. So
you mentioned something to me when we were sort of doing a little debriefing ahead of time. I think it was at the farmer's market on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We were sort of talking about what are we going to talk about and what areas and stuff. And you mentioned something really interesting that I'd never thought about. I think I was telling you that I was moving away from root canals and the crowns and all that kind of stuff because I'd read some information about health issues related to having a kind of dead tooth in your mouth.
Right.
You know, and crowns taken out and replaced with a bridge.
That's right.
And you made the really interesting point, if you do that, to make a point of making sure the bridge is removable so that you can clean it properly.
You see, yeah.
That's so commonsensical, but I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, well, no, you wouldn't. Because I work in a dental setting, I can just say to the dentist, do you mind just removing this? I want to clean it out. I don't think a dentist would want to support that because what if it dislodges while you're sleeping?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's something that I've always felt was good because there's a lot of nourishment that's fed to the teeth individually.
Yes, they're living, you know, they're living things, aren't they?
That's right. You have the nerve, you have the plasma, you have the blood. So these things fill the teeth, nourish the teeth. So it's usually, well, you know, with when you have a crown on, it's kind of limited in the way it kind of covers the tooth. So for me, it's nice to be able to clean like that. But I don't think it's ideal for a client, probably from a dentist's point of view. I guess you can ask. Just ask them to cut the cement with Vaseline.
A little Vaseline so it doesn't stick to your enamel.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing, you know? I mean, is it a hard procedure to sort of remove it and put it back on again?
Well, you're using a reverse hammer, so you're kind of knocking it off. And so the thing is you run the risk of fracturing the porcelain. Maybe. So it's another thing that could be really... This would not be in the best interest of the dentist to be doing it this way.
Yeah.
and probably not for the client. And for me, I guess it's because I was willing to take that chance. And I'll just, you know, the dentists are usually willing to
work
do the work and
it.
I'll just pay for the lab if I have to.
Yeah, it's so great. At least to have that option. I mean, for some people, maybe it's not that big a deal, but for others to have the option of being able to do it, to actually remove it, to do a really good cleaning every once in a while. But I just thought it's just an interesting perspective. When you're getting medical services from someone like a dentist or in a dental office, and it even applies to doctors these days, you're counting on them looking out for your best interests, but they also have a kind of vested interest in selling you products.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so that's always a delicate balance. And I think someone like you in your position, you know, you're sort of once removed, you know, from the dentist's office.
You nailed it. And that's what I love. I'm a horrible salesperson and I've been pulled aside before in a dental office. I've worked in 3 dental offices. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yes.
So I have long-term stays and all. And that's been one of the complaints is that, you know, you don't sell enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I respect people's needs and how they're, for me, if you're chewing really well and you're breaking your food down and you're able to digest and assimilate and eliminate well, and, you know, this is good. But there's the ideal way of functionality that some dentists have and hold that philosophy and believe in restoring completely and 100%. So it's really, it's a difference in philosophies. I respect it and I do in every office that I work in. But I don't have to deal with that. I will definitely advise and suggest the options to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can do this, or you can do that, and
give
so
them
on.
The choices. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But
and
no
I love,
hard sell.
No, and I love that because they know it's sincere and it is in their best interest. And I think, you know, most dentists do deliver that way. But, of course, philosophies change and, you know, money's important, right?
Yeah, so, I just noticed that even, I'm not going to say where I go to my dentist, but it's out of town. But I just noticed a while ago, they don't do it anymore, but they were asking me every time, wouldn't you like to consider getting your teeth whitened, you know? And it was getting a little bit bothersome, you know, and I thought... You know, I'm really not preoccupied with that, you know, and so I would say no. But after a while, I had to ask them to stop, you know, asking me, you know. It was too much.
And I can usually tell, you know, when someone is approachable with this kind of stuff or not. Like, I can feel it, you know. I don't want to push those boundaries.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Yeah. Well, it damages your relationship, I think, with your client, because we're trusting you guys to
really
have, like, our health and well-being at the top of the list, right? Not selling products. So
absolutely.
That's what's at stake there.
And you want to make sure you're in the hands of someone who is not practicing supervised neglect and not someone who is going for the big game of, you know, replacing what you need to do at $45,000 and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a happy medium.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to be removed from that aspect of it for sure.
Yeah. Well, I find this really interesting. So that's your dental hygienist hat. And we're going to take a musical break. We're going to play another one of your songs here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something completely different.
Okay.
You know it ain't easy for these thoughts to leave me. There's no words to describe it. In France or in England, 'cause diamonds they fade, flowers they bloom, and I'm telling you, these feelings won't go away. They even knocking me sideways. They even knocking me. Whenever you come around me, these feelings won't go away. They even knocking me sideways. I keep thinking in a moment that time will take them away. These feelings won't go away.
Okay, so the second half. Oh, I want to ask you about being a doula. What's
okay,
all that about? That's
okay.
Are you a practicing doula?
Not at
okay,
all.
But you studied
nowhere
it.
Near it. Okay, no.
You didn't?
Okay,
okay.
So it's a
nasty rumor.
Okay, no, well, the thing is this, is that it was really a spontaneous thing. 3 years ago, I had been reading about a program offered in India, and it was a doula program. And I'll tell you, because my experience, I won't get into the whole giving birth of my daughter, but it was had such a profound effect on my mind and my body. And I had questions. I had questions that I'd asked several doctors. Nobody could answer me. So by this time, a few years ago, I'd already been practicing Ayurveda for several years, that I'd been able to obtain answers to other things maybe where there were challenges in my health. And so I was just really curious, and I thought this would probably be the place to go, because that whole experience had a great effect on me. I had gone into postpartum depression, but only admitted to it 2 years after it had begun, right?
Wow, yeah.
There were a lot of events with my daughter. I had to keep reviving her because she would stop breathing, be it in the day or in the night,
oh,
so we
goodness.
Didn't sleep.
Wow.
And so it was really quite an emotional experience, and that took everything out of me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to, this would be a safe way for me to go on my own to India, Kerala, southern India, where it just coincidentally happened when I got there that one of the owners of the school happened to be a cousin of one of my clients.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, like what are the chances?
And you didn't know about this ahead of time?
I didn't know about
that.
It was just really, it was
the other side of the earth.
Just incredible. So anyway, all this to say that we got to work with this is the Muthashi project in Kerala, the grandmothers and the daughters and the granddaughters who harvest the herbs used in herbal waters that are used in after women deliver. There's a whole different way of remedy in helping women get back their energy and rejuvenate themselves.
Mm.
So these are the women responsible for harvesting this stuff. So anyway, that's just a very small part of it. But there are so many things I learned, because one of my questions is I kept having these little mini convulsions after I gave birth for about the first 3 weeks. Nobody could answer what it was. Well, now it's so clear as day to me what it was. And it is really about, and I felt like I was not grounded. I felt like I wanted somebody to hug me, hold me, and hold me down in a comfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly these measures that they do to help calm the central nervous system after giving birth.
Wow.
So it was a doula program. And honestly, it's true. Why would I choose that? I don't know. I was just drawn to it.
Wow, you just gave some really, really good reasons. I mean, it was part of your personal journey for self-awareness and self-understanding.
Yes, and there's many women that I meet, because in my line of work, I meet thousands of people.
Yes.
And I see, and I encourage a lot of women to come in when they are during pregnancy. And a lot of them are already going through changes, emotional changes, mm-hmm. and after mm-hmm. delivery. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of exchange on that topic.
Wow. So even though you're not a practicing doula, this gives you a kind of insight and empathy with pregnant women. I mean, aside from the fact that you're already a mother yourself, right. And so you know all about that, you've been through it, but maybe a deeper insight into the natural energies and forces that are
absolutely.
Going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing was, and when we went this day to visit this project, there were over 200 women and daughters and granddaughters. And so we were like, I'll say a panel of five of us all doing this program. And we were allowed to ask one question. So there was a translator there. And my question was, you know, I'd like to see a show of hands, how many people here, women here, have experienced postpartum depression? And then it took time, they're talking, they're translating, talking amongst themselves, and not one hand. So I repeated it. I said, excuse me, I said, have you answered how many? And then finally they responded, no, there is no one here. I said, over 200 people here, and no one has experienced it.
So they're doing something right down there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a big support from family. Family is huge. It's just all about family, you know. And I never passed things like that over for anyone else to take over because I didn't think anyone could revive my child the way I could. Wow. Right? So we don't always ask for help,
and
we should.
Yeah, what a huge responsibility coming right out of childbirth to have that.
Absolutely.
Kind of, I mean, it's every mother's worst nightmare, right? And it was a reality for you.
It was a reality, goodness. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier your Ayurvedic training and also Reiki. So do those both qualify as sort of energy work, or is it more the Reiki?
Absolutely. I mean, in Ayurveda, which is really the rejuvenative aspect of Ayurveda that I practice, there's energy work that you bring in, definitely. Yeah. And of course, Reiki being energy work. So, they definitely are intertwined.
Yeah.
You know, in Reiki and other modalities, when working with energy, there seems to be, depending on who you learn from, there's a practice and an approach. I'm not really big on that. I like to go with what feels right to me. I don't believe there's any written rule. Mm-hmm. There could be people saying you're wrong, and that's fine. But, you know, from my own personal experience, I bring in what's important to me, and that's what I go with. And for sure, it's very important to protect yourself, definitely, and to cut the ties after and so on, and set intention. So this is really important for me. You see, I am very attracted to being able to implement remedies that are at your disposal, things that don't cost a lot, things that are simple. And this was really... It was many, probably 10 years ago or so, maybe 8 or so. I was in town in Montreal, and on that given day, I happened to meet or talk with 3 different people. They were all Indian. And it's funny that each of them had asked me, well, have you ever heard of Ayurveda?
I said, you're kidding.
No, yeah.
Spontaneously?
Yes. And I said, no, I've never heard of Ayurveda. So, of course, I had to get home, get on the computer. And I got my cup of tea. I sat down and I started reading. And I started reading and I started getting goosebumps. And I read on and I went, I know this stuff.
Really?
And it just made me realize that it's there. It's really there. But we're not always taught. And it brought light on, or shed light on, you see, I was born with a skin condition, and it's called ichthyosis. Okay, I know
that sounds
pretty, I know. So it's very like it's a scaly skin, and I was lucky enough not to get it on my face, but I have it on my legs and my arms. And so from the age of 5, I've always, after I would have my bath, would always rub oil on my body. And this is always the big argument with my mom. What's taking you so long in there? And we only had one bathroom. There were 6 of us in the house, right?
Yeah.
And I always insisted on doing it because I loved the feeling of the absorption. Plus, it was kind of a neat thing to start from head to toe.
Mm.
Lo and behold, that's Abhyanga. So that is part of a process in Ayurveda that is excellent for calming the central nervous system, excellent for feeding yourself good energy, good for absorption, right? So it helps to detoxify the body.
Wow.
And I've always done that.
Intuitively, naturally.
All the time.
Wow,
all
is that
time.
Incredible?
Yeah.
That's
so
really interesting.
So again, there was one of those things that sort of shed light on something. I was like, see, Mom, I had a reason for it. I didn't know, but it was innate.
For taking all that time in the bathroom.
It was very innate, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So when you started studying the practice, did you find that happened more than once, that kind of resonance of values or approaches or things that you intuited?
Absolutely, absolutely. There are always these little forms of confirmation along the way, you know? And even my reactions to foods. And I found this, like, my husband likes to cook. He cooks a lot. And I love that. I'm so happy, and I'm blessed to have that. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, he'd say, you know, prepare me a nice big meal. And I'd sit, and I'd look, and I'd go, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I just can't eat this. Couldn't really give a reason. Couldn't justify. So I'd maybe eat a little bit of what I felt I could. But there was an overall feeling of almost like my intestines kind of cramping up a little bit.
Just
not
at
being
the side
relaxed.
Of the feet. The feet.
Right.
Interesting.
And I've never had an eating disorder. I love to eat. I'm always eating. Yeah. And it took me a while to figure that out. So through Ayurveda, because it's really based, Ayurveda is all about living preventatively, and it's about preventing disease. So when we are, say, eating foods are maybe not agreeable, if we're eating on the go, grabbing smoothies while we're driving, things like that, we really are not supporting our digestion properly. So what happens, things don't break down as they should, you end up with toxins in the stomach. Okay, so how does your body get rid of this? You know, so this is part of what the Abhyanga is, the massaging, because your skin is a huge organ, the biggest organ.
Biggest
and
organ
it's,
of
it's
the body
to detoxify, here, right?
Yes.
So this is important. Digestion is a key source for preventing disease.
Yes, it's been a major preoccupation of mine. I'm just going to use myself as an example here of going down this path. I mean, you know, I stopped almost not out of the blue, but I stopped eating wheat about 3 years ago now, I think. And it was just, you know, I heard an interview with William Davis, the guy that wrote Wheat Belly. Yeah. And just what he was describing, you know, it just really resonated with me. So I thought, I got to try that. I love bread. I bake bread.
Yes.
I love focaccia.
Yes.
You know, like I when I was a teenager, I worked in bakeries. I mean, like, and I've always cooked. Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, like you develop a really close relationship, you know, and the smells and the textures. And so it was a huge sacrifice for me to take this on, but I wanted to try it because I've been having, you know, digestive problems and a lot of gut pain and bloating and discomfort. And it was just more and more and more, you know, and I thought, this can't be right. I wonder if it could be a reaction to the bread. So like as soon as I cut out the bread, as soon as I did, I felt amazingly better. A lot better.
Yes.
And every time, like, you know, I could never do it 100%. So every time I would wander back a little bit, it would even get worse. You know,
right.
I had a stronger reaction. So I knew I was going in the right direction. So I've really revamped my diet. I eat tons of nuts now and almonds and cashews. I brought a bowl tonight.
And that's fulfilling, eh? It's really
hits a spot for me. I do get cravings sometimes, not so much for wheat anymore, but the related ones, because bread always goes with either something fat or something sweet. Right?
Definitely.
So those have been the ones that have been the more difficult to actually, you know, like what do you eat peanut butter with if you don't have bread?
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh,
so
yes.
So I started making myself little peanut butter balls or almonds. Actually, I made my own almond butter and roll up balls with cranberries and nuts in them and stuff. And,
nice.
And that would hit the
Very
spot
good.
For me. Yeah. And gradually just going down that path of like kind of blindly, I really didn't know except that I cut out the wheat and it was around the same time that I started doing yoga with Hannah. Interesting slip there. Sorry, Hannah, you know what I mean.
You didn't tell me, Hannah.
She would know exactly what I meant.
She's laughing.
That's right. I started doing yoga around that time and also doing some sessions with Anand, energy work with her and stuff.
Nice.
And cranial sacral therapy and stuff. And it's funny, like it all happened, like there was no grand plan or anything. It just sort of evolved. It felt like the right thing to do and I needed it, you know. And it's come together as a kind of, I can't even say it's a practice. It's just how I'm living my life these days.
Yes.
And I'm paying attention to what's going in my mouth. I'm paying a lot of attention to keeping my digestive system healthy and happy. And I feel a lot better.
Well, because we know ourselves best, right? And I think it's part of the plan. It doesn't always come to service until the timing really is there.
You know, but I maintain, I've had this conversation with the women in yoga. And it's mostly women in my yoga class on Monday mornings. But this is not I don't know if I'm exceptional, but I think most of the guys that I know are in the same boat. self-awareness and awareness of our body and how it functions is not a major preoccupation for guys. You know, like women, for a variety of reasons, seem to be more finely attuned to what their bodies are up to. I'm sure it's because of your cycles and that kind of thing. You know, you're from an early age, you know.
Yes.
And we've sort of been taught to ignore our bodies, you know, be tough, you know, oh, it's a little bit of pain, it'll go away. And don't pay too much attention to that body. You know, like we're raised that way pretty much. Like even doing yoga is, you know, you sort of start becoming aware of your body in a different way,
yes.
you know, that it can do certain things and that breathing is so important.
Oh, it is. It's so important. It's a quick fix to calm things, to bring things down a notch. Sometimes when I'm at work and it's crazy and we're seeing, you know, when I'm working in Dollard, sometimes I just slip away. I go to the bathroom and I sit on the toilet, something to sit down on, and it's quiet. And I'll just do some alternate nostril breathing. Mm. And I'll put in less than maybe just 3 minutes worth. That's it, a few rounds of that.
Yeah.
And it really, really, really helps.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Calms your spirit and centers you and grounds
Absolutely.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. So it's a really interesting path. So I guess the moral of this is just I'm just being really appreciative of all the people in our community like you that, you know, have dedicated a large part of your life and your resources to not only learning for yourself, but actually, you know, making it available to people. It's a really big contribution I'm discovering. Yeah.
Good. I mean, it's so exciting to share from your own experiences and you've been through and to see results.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting to share. And what, you know, for myself, I learned so much too. I mean, my goodness, there's just so much going on. And with clients in the chair who say things like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's nice. It's really nice. Good exchange. Mm-hmm.
And the part that I'm constantly sort of enjoying is that, as I said earlier, how it's all connected. There were no sort of boundaries or lines or demarcations.
Right.
You know, you can look at any aspect of life from this kind of point, this point of view, and see that there are definite ties and flows of energy and interconnectedness that, you know, we've sort of just, I guess it's our analytical minds that tend to dissect and categorize and put things into compartments, but it really, you know, life and health and wellness and happiness even are all part and parcel of each other. Anyway, I'm ranting and digressing here.
It's great.
We're going to change hats again, Allison, after this next cut of music and delve into the whole comedy thing. I'm really curious to know what motivates you and drives you and what kind of experiences you've had in that domain. So let's play this third cut of music.
Smells on the air. See there, it's crushing the final impression. Stains on the paper where words felt like water. Unearth all the changes that never did matter. I think it's beginning to freeze here. Solid by morning, and I'll freeze here. Winter by morning.
So, stand-up comedy.
Yes. No pressure, right?
No pressure.
You know, I've always been very shy. I had a hard time speaking, even to ask the teacher questions. You know, I get red from the neck up.
Really? Know? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really bothersome to me. And especially if, you know, if I had sort of an opinion on something in deciding to share it, I start to cough. You know, so it really became an issue. And I decided I wanted to just sort of confront that. I wanted to challenge it. And one day,
At what stage in your
life? Okay, yes. So this would have been around 1992. Around 1992.
Okay.
And I saw this ad in the Gazette and about comedy and writing and so on. So I just called the number. Anyway, long story short, I ended up getting together with a few people. There ended up being five or six of us. And then we started writing stuff, helping each other write our stuff. And then we would go up and do our stuff on open mic at the Comedy Works.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there were a couple of the other places as well around town. And so it was really exhilarating to have an idea of what you thought was potentially funny. And to see if it really, you know, was funny, but it's also sharing the stories because a lot of them are personal and true.
Yes.
And so it was a challenge to, and of course you have people who would hear things and say, well, no, you can't say that. You can't use that word. And then they'd have you change your stuff around. And then it's like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Just suck the soul out of it somehow.
Oh, yes. yes. So I didn't do that for very long, for maybe about 5 years or so. That was about it.
Well, and on a weekly basis, on a regular basis?
Yes, on a regular basis. Right? Yeah, on a regular basis. And and it was neat. So I met a lot of great, you know, people along the way. And
people doing the circuit.
Coming, yes, yeah, okay. Exactly. And it was funny because I was, I guess because I started out working pretty young. I guess around 22 when I started out as a hygienist and that. So by the time I was 27 or so, I was able to buy my own home. Took a little while. And so a lot of the people were just sort of sleeping on each other's couches and that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I always kind of laid low, you know, and it didn't quite let many people know that I had this place where people would have been there in a second.
Yes,
they're funny. Comedians are funny in the way they live and the way they travel, and they just sort of crash each other.
A lot of couch surfing. Mm-hmm, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So that was a lot of fun. And
I'm really curious about the there's a real strong psychological component to comedy, I find. Did you attend the Yuck Yucks sessions that happened here at the Windsor in the last year or two?
No, I have not. Okay. Yuck Yucks.
Okay, so Mike and Robbie bring in comedians.
Okay.
I don't know how regularly, but I've been there twice now when there's been a stand-up comic at two or three of them, actually. They seem to travel in packs, as you say.
Right, oh yeah, definitely.
But anyway, my point in raising it was, here we are, tiny community, everybody knows everybody else. People from the bank are sitting at the table with us. People from the funeral home are sitting with us. And you're getting comedians up there with like potty mouth to the extreme, like you would not believe.
Really?
Like you would not believe, like really, really strong graphic language about female body parts and male body parts too, for that matter. And here we are all in this, like in our, you know how it is in a small community. I mean, everybody's really polite and, you know, like you just don't talk about these kinds of things. And we're all howling and hooting and laughing. And then very quickly look around to see if anybody saw us laugh at that particular joke.
That's interesting. That is really, and you know, that actually brings up a good point, because a lot of my material over the years had come from my mom. It's just like, she's very, very thrifty.
Okay.
You know, she's like a cross between Susie Homemaker and MacGyver.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
She was always sort of the center of my jokes. Because that's a lot handy. Of things she was pretty interesting. She would even add and help out when I was trying to come up with certain things. And then my material, of course, it was always the boyfriend material, which is always interesting.
Yes.
And then what became funny as time went on were a lot of the things that happened in the dental office.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So the thing is this, is that I'm doing always lots of writing. I'm always writing. And I have a concept. I go, this is great. So I'm always talking on my phone. My ideas just don't stop. And there could be an idea for stand-up. It could be maybe an idea for a play. But my barrier is that, first of all, people have to be able to laugh at themselves, because if I'm going to talk a little bit about the people that come in and things that have transpired and taken place, people are going to know. And the thing is, what does that look like from a professional standpoint?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is what my barrier is. Yes. But definitely when I'm amongst friends and I say stuff, there can be some funny things exchanged.
I can imagine,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then I have people like my sister who just sort of look at me. She goes, I would never come to you to have my teeth cleaned, you know? And this is my sister. But for me, it's just the spontaneity of it. And I guess just, the brashness of it, you know?
So it sounds like you've come up against the what I was alluding to with it being in a small community.
Yes.
If you have any kind of crossover between your on-stage presence and your clientele, maybe, you know, the possibility that somebody might just wander into Yuck Yucks or wherever you're performing and say, holy smokes, that's my dental hygienist up there.
exactly.
It's a small world.
It is a small world. And I've had ideas of doing, like, you know, 60-second skits, because, I mean, I have the chair. Have everything there. And I want to, you know.
A captive audience, as they say.
Oh, yeah, and, I, you know, with the GoPro. And it, I mean, there's so many great ideas, you know.
Yes.
I mean, there'd be no names mentioned, right? No. So it's definitely a possibility. And so one of the dentists that I work with, and I've been at her, because she's she's very funny. She really is. She's got a very dry sense of humor. But and I said, come on, let's just sit down and let's just do an hour of a play. We can play it at the Fringe Festival.
Yes.
Let's just give it a try. Yes, it's in a way to express yourself. So she thinks I'm crazy. Anyway.
That's interesting. Well, I'm not quite ready to say goodbye to you yet, Allison. Okay. So I'm going to try to launch that little piece of music that I had said promised earlier. And we're going to come back and wrap up here. I've noticed Sean Cooley's coming in for Van Cleef Cooley. He's chomping at the bit, but he doesn't get to take over the microphone until 8:30 or so. You've generously given us an extra half hour of time, Sean, so thanks for that. So we're going to just play a piece of music here and come back and chat some more.
Mother of us all, place of our birth, can we stand aside and watch the rape of the world? It's the beginning of the end. It's the most heinous of crimes.
I'm so pleased that I managed to play that little piece of music for our guest this evening. Allison Logie is here. Hi, Allison.
Hello.
Thanks again for coming in. It's really fun having a chat with you. All sorts of different domains, and we're just barely scratching the surface here.
The great conversation is when the mics are off.
Exactly. Yeah, some good stuff going on here. But we were just talking about the third hat that you wear, and I'm sure you have many others as well, but the comedy routine stuff. When's the last time you did any?
It was for a wedding here. It's a few years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's been a while.
But do you have your chops up still? If somebody said, hey, Allison, would you come and do a little routine for us at our next business meeting or something, would you be willing?
Yeah, it is a possibility. It is a possibility. I think a lot of it will depend on, you know what I missed, Jean? What I missed when I done it for those several years was that I never had the opportunity to really just be me.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a lot of stage fright. It made me sick, and I never could quite just, and then there's times, you know, when you're with your friends and your things are coming out and friends that you trust,
yes.
and it's just yes. really way out there.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that's fun, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. I think it's healthy somehow, you know, to air some of that stuff.
Absolutely, it is.
I have one more question that I wanted to ask you. This is a listener that sent this in. They said, have you ever changed somebody's appointment because it was a full moon?
Okay, Eddie.
He paid me a lot of money to ask that.
Okay. Well, it might be in the client's best interest because you know what full moons do to people, right? I do now and again become the hygienist from hell. It happens every now and again.
You grow fangs and a little bit of hair.
Absolutely.
And if, on your knuckles.
Absolutely. And if I'm hungry and it happens to be a really hot, sunny day and I haven't eaten yet and you arrive late to the appointment.
And you have a craving for blood or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. That gets me going. Or you don't want to swallow your own saliva. That happens. All of a sudden, when I just sort of go take a look in the mouth, and just put the mirror, and I start to talk. It's like, okay, and people start to answer, and I start talking like this, and we're talking back and forth. And I go, well, you know, you can swallow. It's your saliva. Like, I didn't put it there, right? So all of a sudden, things change.
Interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. So people are welcome to come on a full moon, but they take their chances.
Absolutely. It could be interesting.
There you go, Eddie. You got your answer.
Oh, yes, Eddie.
So if you were turned away on a full moon, it was for your own good, and you probably live to see another day because of that generous suggestion on the part of Allison that maybe you should think twice. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Allison, for coming in. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you. And I have a feeling that we could keep on doing this for a while. So we're going to have to have you come in for another.
I would love to. This has been really fun. Yeah? This is my very first experience doing this.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
You're such a
natural. Yeah. I love it. It's great.
Well,
thank you, Jean, for having me.
It was my pleasure. And like I said, we're going to have you come back again, and we'll talk about some more of your other hats, maybe.
That would be nice.
Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's time for me to wrap up Van Cleek FM for the March 25th edition. We've gone a little bit longer than usual.